In the 1993 movie Shadowlands, Anthony Hopkins plays C.S. Lewis, who is struggling with the illness of his great love, Joy, whom he marries while she's very sick with cancer in the hospital. At one point, Joy shows some improvement, and the priest in this story, Harry, says to Lewis, "I know how hard you've been praying, and now God is answering your prayers." To which C.S. Lewis, the great theologian and great mind, he says, and great spirit, "That's not why I pray, Harry. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, it changes me." Prayer changes us. You may remember I've been saying this a lot recently, that God always wants the best for us, and that does not depend on what we do. If that is true, then, why does what we do matter? Why does nurturing our faith matter? Why does prayer matter? It seems that over the last few weeks, our readings, especially our gospel readings, have invited consideration of faith, what it means to have faith, and how faith and action are connected. Last Sunday, the focus was faith and gratitude, and today the focus is faith and prayer. The parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow has led some, as in the movie, in the person of the priest, to assume that if we pray hard enough, God will respond. The judge, who did not care about being just, eventually granted the widow's request for justice. She was in a dispute. Jesus didn't go into detail in that parable. People listening to him the first time would have understood the backstory. And he has that judge say, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out. She's continually showing up at my house," he's saying. "She won't leave me alone." Then Jesus makes the point, "Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? If an unjust judge will grant the request of one who is persistent, won't our God of peace and of healing and of justice grant our requests if we are persistent?" And then Jesus says it will happen quickly. And then Jesus wonders if faith will be found on earth when the Son of Man comes, meaning when God's reign comes in its fullness, is fully realized. And this whole parable and teaching started with Jesus wanting to tell his first followers and us about our need to pray always and not lose heart. And yet, haven't so many people lost heart after praying with persistence and great faith for something or someone, and the result didn't come, the healing didn't come, maybe the person died? This is one of the most common reasons, in my experience as a priest for 16 years, one of the most common reasons. People in the grocery store will tell me this when I go up with a caller, and they'll say, "I just don't believe anymore because my brother died." That's happened more than once. It's one of the most common reasons people say they don't believe in God and stop going to church. And who can blame them, right? Who can blame them if we set up such a system when we teach that prayer changes God? Well, if prayer doesn't change God, again, what is the point of all this, the point of the parable? God is granting justice and seeking justice in our world all the time. And we do believe that one day the fullness of God's love for the world will be known. God's kingdom come, God's will be done. We who pray, we are joined with God in this spiritual way, connected to the fullness of God's love and God's desire for justice. We may not see the fullness of God's love made manifest in our time or in specific ways in our lives. Sometimes we do, but often we don't. And I think this is exactly why Jesus wanted his first followers and wants us to pray always and not lose heart. He knew there would be many occasions for us to lose heart. As Kimberly Bracken Long states in Feasting on the Word, our prayers do not constitute so many unanswered pleas. Rather, they are our participation in the coming reign of God. By praying continually and not giving up hope, we live in the surety that God has not abandoned this world. Living in hope, we work in whatever ways we can for the justice and peace that is coming. Prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. Oliver Larry Yarborough maintains that in order to understand how Luke makes this perseverance in prayer and not losing heart elements of faith, we need to consider some verses from Luke that are actually not included in our lectionary for this year, but are very close to what we just read today, Luke 17, 20 through 37, in which the Pharisees ask Jesus when the kingdom of God will come. Jesus answers, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, there it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." The kingdom of God is among you, also translated, or within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Taking all of this together, isn't this a very different way of understanding the second coming and the coming of God's reign in its fullness? The kingdom of God is among and within us. And we have been created in God's image, that God seed we talked about last Sunday. Our prayers for peace and justice and healing, those prayers arise from the depth of us, the depth of our souls. No one had to teach us to desire those things and therefore pray for them. And is it not the Holy Spirit we hear in Romans that prays within us with sighs too deep for words, even when we might be having some trouble praying or feel we don't know how to or can't on this day? The Spirit prays within us. What a difference. What a difference that makes to how we live and what we choose to do with ourselves, our resources, when we're open to the idea that God's reign of peace and justice and healing is coming into being right now through each of us, through our church, through our community of faith. What a difference that makes. Rather than waiting for God to show up and fix everything, rather than waiting, we grab onto the gifts God has already given us. Grab on to those prayers within us coming from deep within, coming from our hearts where God has already written God's love, God's words of love, and we let them be seen. We help our prayers be seen in the world. And what if we thought about God being the widow, being the persistent widow who never stops knocking at our door until we get up and act for justice? Shane Claiborne and Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove wrote a book with a title so fitting for our discussion today. It's entitled, Becoming the Answer to Our Prayers. In the introduction, they quote a man named Jonathan Perkins, a leader in what's been known as the Christian Community Development Association. This person, John, says, when you see someone who needs a handicap ramp, don't go pray for the ramp. Build the ramp. Right? It's so simple, isn't it, really? Build them a ramp. They go on to say, the authors of the book, when we pray to God asking, why don't you do something, we hear a gentle whisper respond, I did do something. I made you. Prayer is important, just as important is to call, become, or the call to become the answer to our prayers. This could not be more true than when we pray for the refugees of our world. As I mentioned earlier in the announcements, we are thankful and blessed to have John, the director of Virginia Refugee and the Immigration Program for Church World Services, here with us today to be our forum speaker and to discuss how our prayers can become real around the issues of refugees. Many of you are already helping with refugees in Richmond, and you have in the past. This church has sponsored refugees since the 1950s. We also pray every week for the village of Mzula in Tanzania. And this is the time of year when we're able to act on those prayers, when we're invited to renew, those of us who are already involved in this, renew our commitment to the children of that village by giving a check for $80 to support a child through the Carpenter's Kids program. And if you're new and would like to support a child, you can do that, writing a check and putting Carpenter's Kids in the memo. We know we can't do everything, and sometimes in our prayers, we need God to just be there for us, and that's fine, and that's good and right. We can't do everything, but sometimes we can do something in response to the prayers of our hearts. In our world of politics and structures, rules, regulations, laws, as the people of God, we are called to be persistent in our prayers, as our prayers help us to know what God is calling us to be about. Our prayers also strengthen us to be God's people each and every day. One final quotation from Becoming the Answer to Our Prayers. Now, we shouldn't ever think that we are God or that we are the hope of the world to the ones, that we are the whole hope of the world or the ones who move history. But God lives in us and through us. In fact, Scripture even says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. The first letter of John. You are the only Jesus some people will ever see. We get to become the body of Christ, to be people who remind the world of Jesus. We are God's body. None of us is Christ alone, but all of us are Christ together. We are God's body in the world. I conclude with a prayer from the Diocese of Virginia, specifically for our Fall Stewardship Campaign, but in the context of this sermon, we can see how it's good for use any time. We'll be saying this prayer in unison at the conclusion of our prayers of the people. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, in your abundance we abide, and with your generosity let us give. Make us like your Christ, and help us to walk in love as he did. Change us daily into the fragrant offering and sacrifice acceptable to you. Receive our gifts and prayers, in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.